Happy Sabbath, brethren. So today we're going to go through Acts chapter 16, verses 25. We left at verse 25 last Sabbath. And so we will continue with that today and see what the Almighty will show, teach all of us. As I always say, I like to do these teachings without notes, without studying in advance necessarily. Sometimes I'll read through them, and that's because I want to have that free mind. There are times, you know, if I'm doing a special subject, I'll study in advance, I'll research, but all of these through the book of Acts, we're just reading through them so that Elohim can open our eyes together. So I'm not saying you know something that I plan to say, but something that he's opening my mind to say. And if I make a mistake, as our brother Felix said in the beginning, maybe you could point it out, and so we could all be enriched, okay? Because we are as iron sharpening iron. So let's go through Acts chapter 16 with verse 25. So verse 25 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto Elohim, and the prisoners heard them." Okay? So we know from the previous verses that they were falsely accused because Paul had cast out a demon when he had figured out it was an evil spirit. After several days of this spirit going behind them, this evil spirit moving this young woman to proclaim, "These are the great servants of the Almighty. These men are the servants of the Most High Elohim, which show unto us the way of salvation." Verse 17, which is true. But it is not for demons to proclaim. And that in itself is a lesson. Just as we saw when our sovereign, wonderful Yeshua was being tempted by Satan. Satan said some things that were true. But it is not for them to pronounce these things. It is for the children of Elohim only, for the angels in heaven, and for those of us who are saved to proclaim these things. They are not to be proclaimed from demonic sources. And that also is a lesson to us too, that we are to be careful who we learn from. It is not proper for us to learn from demonic sources. While Elohim may choose to do as he pleases, but as for us, our instruction comes from above by the Spirit, by his word, and by the untainted nature that he has created. We are not to learn from sources that are mixed or sources of darkness. So Paul, being grieved, cast that demon out, and as a reason, the men which made great earnings, had great financial gain through her fortune-telling because of this demonic spirit that was in her, became upset, and they falsely accused Paul and the brethren and had him arrested, beaten, and put into prison. So that's where we are today. And as we briefly mentioned, whenever in the world, whenever they're affected financially, watch out. So always, we're, as our brother Willard, who sometime is with us, would say, be watchful. And we need to be watchful. We have to learn these lessons from Scripture. When anything righteous affects the world financially, chances are there's going to be some sort of persecution on the source of righteousness that is affecting their financial gain. Okay? So be mindful of that. Okay, so to verse 25. So now they're in prison, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto Elohim, and the prisoners heard them. And as we briefly said at the end last Sabbath, they waited till midnight. It was at midnight, and they prayed, and it says, and the prisoners heard them. It's a large prison, so it was quiet in the night. So now, by the power of the Spirit, rather than moaning and feeling sick and giving over to the flesh, and being overwhelmed by pains in their flesh, they had the joy of the Spirit in them. I've read accounts about the ancient believers, ancient first, second century believers, when they were being persecuted. The power of the Spirit was so much over them that in their, some of them at least, stated that about them was said, it's as if they felt no pain while they were being tortured. They were able to praise. It's because the Spirit of Elohim does not allow the servants, when they're like this, when they're put in the forefront to suffer like this, they're not allowed to suffer as ordinary men, even though we may see their flesh are being torn or destroyed while reading it. Hopefully we'll never ever have to see anything like that. But when we read these things, it breaks our hearts. It even frightens us. It frightens a person like me. But the Spirit doesn't allow them to suffer the way we think. That's how come when we saw Stephen being stoned, he could think rationally and pray rationally the way he was. If he was suffering the way a regular man would suffer, being having rocks and heavy stones hitting him everywhere, he couldn't think. He wouldn't be able to think clearly like that, or have the attitude of grace and mercy that he had. It's because the Spirit takes control. They let the Spirit take control in all we do. And so here they're singing praises to Elohim and forbid that we're going through hardships to the degree that he has. We must have the fellowship of the Spirit so we can withstand. So this is why they're able to do this. No one can do this in regular flesh. Okay, it's by the power of the Spirit they do this. Okay, and suddenly what happened? There was, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the sovereign Yeshua Messiah, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the sovereign, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, their wounds, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in Elohim and all his house. Let's stop here and go back. So we already mentioned verse 25, that by the power of the Spirit and grace of Elohim, they were singing praises unto Elohim and they heard. But what happened? There was a sudden earthquake. Heaven, under Elohim's will, in other words, Elohim responded to their praise and their prayer. Elohim gave witness to them. Elohim stood by them, backed them up. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The foundations are the very heavy, the strongest structure in the entire house. That's holding the entire prison shook. That's how powerful this earthquake was. And it was probably a controlled earthquake too. What I mean by that, it probably didn't affect too many other places. It's just that spot. Elohim probably had it shaken. In every place he wanted it to shake, to have the effect, specific effect he wanted it to have. So the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. See, and this is why I say this, because if this was just happening just a regular earthquake, and bands were, then this would have happened in just about everyone's house, other house. But this is a controlled event. And so all the bands, the chains or there's a word for them, but that were holding them, these arm hand bands, leg bands, that were stocks that were holding all these prisoners, all of them came off. They all came off. That's what heaven did on their behalf as they were singing their praises. They prayed and sang praises to Elohim. And again, brethren, this is why we beseech you to join us in prayer. If you find this fellowship worth your time, from time to time, even if you can't make it every Friday night, join us in prayer. And if you can't join us because it's inconvenient, because you can't, let us know, because we're flexible. We'll move the time to another day, to another time, earlier or even later if necessary, so we can pray together, because prayer is important. That's the key thing. If you notice, whenever miracles happen, it happens through prayer and praise. Okay, that's our communication line with the Father in heaven. And Yeshua said, and some of us may feel, I'll pray by myself. Do not forget the important doctrine of our Messiah Yeshua. Where two or more are gathered in my name, he says, whatsoever they shall ask, he shall do. So he's saying he wants us to pray together. That's what that means. It does, of course, if for some reason it's impossible for us to be with others, that we must be pray by ourselves. Yes, we pray by ourselves. But every opportunity we have to come together with fellow brethren to pray, that's a blessing. It's not a good deed. I was laughing with my daughter, I believe it was. I was saying, some people think like when they're praying, they're doing a good deed. It's not a good deed. Prayer is for our benefit. It's not a mitzvah. It's not like you're doing something righteous. Prayer is asking for help. That's why, if you notice, it says prayer and praise. They're two different things. They're similar but different. Praising Elohim is doing that. You're thanking him. You're telling him his benefits, how good he is. You're giving thanks. Prayer are petitions. That means you're making requests. So they prayed. What were they praying about? They were making a request. And the response from heaven is a response for that request. So they were delivered. And if you read elsewhere where Paul speaks about him, he says he's fighting against beast or he is facing this or that trouble. He says, but in the name of the Eternal, he's delivered out of them all. And the psalmist says, though they beset me about as bees, the Eternal shall deliver me out of all their hands. That's doctrine. So you have to believe that. You have to know that's the will of Elohim. Okay, that's the will of Elohim. And Paul is one who was set apart for suffering for Elohim because of his former crimes against the faith. Yet Elohim still took him, knowing he did this as an error, did his sins in error, in ignorance, I should say, and had mercy on him. But yet he was called to suffering. But even one who's called to suffering is being delivered. So we need to start having that mindset that Elohim will deliver me. When we read the psalm that says, though they beset me about as bees, in the name of the Eternal, I will, in this case, destroy them all, for the case of that covenant with, and David. David was a warrior. But we can say, in the name of the Eternal, we will be delivered. We have to aim for that belief rather than thinking, okay, we're going to suffer, but we're going to be given the strength to just die. We have to think the other way. We have to learn to think the other way. We have to learn to think about being delivered more than being brought low. Because that's the biblical norm, is for Elohim to deliver his people. There are times He wants us to be brought low and even pass away. But that's not the norm. The norm is deliverance. Okay, so keep that in mind. So when you're in trouble, when you pray, be optimistic in Him. Have faith, have trust in Him. And that's very hard for a person like me. I hope it's easier for you, but we all need to have like a very optimistic view in Elohim, not in ourselves, not in the world, not in anything, but in Elohim. Because of His goodness, He will deliver us. So all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, verse 27, the keeper of the prison woke up from sleep and saw and would have killed himself. That gives you a little bit about the culture of these people that live in that place. This man, because the prisoners, he thought the prisoners just ran away, so he was going to kill himself. Why? Possibly because of you. Possibly because some people have the thing like it's a dishonor. I failed, so I'm going to, you know, end my life. Others, it's fear of torture, so it's better to die a quick death than to be tortured and humiliated. Depends what the culture is. I don't know what the culture, why, but there is a reason as to why he thought like that. So he was going to kill himself. But Paul said, hey, don't. No, he cried. He intervened quickly. He cried with a loud voice, no, do no harm to yourself. We're all here. He understood. See, Paul, by the Spirit, understood what was going on. We're all here. Don't kill yourself. See, he understood. That's why we have to have understanding. Be very understanding of the situation so we can intervene correctly. He didn't say, stop, don't do it. No, we are all here. Why? Because this man, in his mind, thought that the prisoners fled. But Paul answered his concern. No, no, don't worry. We are all here. And there's no need to harm yourself. Verse 29, and he called for a light. That is he called for a light. That's the prison keeper. Called for a light. It was dark in there. And sprang in. Wow. He called for a light and jumped in. He's motivated. He's just, what's going on? You know, he just jumped in and he sprang in, but came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And says, sirs. And in this case, sirs here is would be like masters, right? Sirs, masters. And what was his question? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's a big question. Salvation. Now, I always think this to be only spiritual salvation. It could be a little bit of physical too. It could be that, okay, what can I do so that my family will be spared from being killed by my bosses, by my rulers as well? That could be a little bit there too. But ultimately, it's what can I do to be saved? Because with this happening, his life was in danger, you know. For if the prisoners, whatever, anything happened, they could kill him and his entire house. But this is more so about salvation. He heard them. Remember, all the people in verse 25, all the prisoners heard them praising Elohim. And being a jail keeper, he probably knows a little bit about why these men were put in prison. So he probably knows a little bit about the message of salvation. The scriptures say the seed, some water, but the increase is of Elohim. Remember, there were other believers. They may not have known the full gospel, like Lydia. She was the seller of purple. She was a righteous person. And there were others who were keeping Sabbath, remember? So it could have been this man is a little familiar with the need for salvation. But who knows? But the question, but whichever way it might be, the question is, what must I do to be saved? And they said, and they, not Paul, not Silas, Paul and Silas. They said, you know, sometimes they'll tell you, Paul, some of us say, there, they said. So the Spirit is working in unison in their response. So this is not a premeditated response. This is the working of the Spirit. So they said, believe on the sovereign Yeshua, and you shall be saved and thy house. Notice, he doesn't say, what can I do that my family might be saved? The Spirit gave him an extra blessing. Because he asked, what shall I do to be saved? But he says, the answer was, believe in the sovereign Yeshua, thou shalt be saved, and your house. That's wonderful. It's wonderful. Or your household. Verse 32, and they spake unto him the word of the sovereign to and to all that were in his house. And they spake the word to him. Did they speak to him about all sorts of other things? You know? What was the important thing here? To solve the problem, to bring salvation. The preaching of the word of the eternal. That's the important thing. And to all his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. That's interesting, the way this is laid out. So hearing this gracious word, filling his soul, purifying his soul, sanctifying his heart, circumcising everything about him, making him pure, he washes their wounds. He washes their wounds, and what happens? They baptize him. That's interesting. They're washing each other. They baptize and was baptized. He and all his right away, straightway. I remember being in the Protestant circles and other where, you know, if a person's going to get baptized, they could be in a part of the congregation, the church, I'll say church and purpose, for years. But when it's time to get baptized, all of a sudden they have to go through a course, a whole course. I don't remember how long. I remember when I was getting baptized in the Baptist order, because I had to take a whole course. You know, they indoctrinate you about certain things, about their version of Trinitarianism, certain things that you had to... whatever denomination they want you to adhere to, and then if you adhere to them and you agree to pay the tithe and all, you know, you're going to have your offerings and all of that stuff. I remember that. Oh, now that you got to pay your tithes and you got to, you know, I remember all of that being said. Now that you're a member, you know, you got to pay your tithes and all of those things. Anyway, so, but here it was immediate. Immediate. So what was the qualifier? Knowledge? No. Repentance. And the fruit of repentance. That's what this is. That's what he expressed. Not trying to. He just did. His heart was filled with love. They didn't ask to have their wounds washed. He washed their wounds. And then they baptize him. They baptize him, he and all his. And when he had brought them into his house, he put food before them and rejoiced, believing in the good in Elohim and all his house. He rejoiced. Now he knows he's not alone. Now he knows he doesn't have to, like our brother Kosa was just reading from that portion in the scriptures about the tree being cut and adorned and people bowing down to them. What did he say? He said, these things are nothing. They can do neither evil nor good. This person is living in a pagan land under pagan customs where all of these things and more take place. And he sees nothing from all of them. Now he rejoices. I have the Elohim, the creator of the universe above all things, as my Elohim. So he rejoiced. and rejoiced, believing in Elohim with all his house. It was a little feast. They were feasting. So keep that in mind. I remember Protestant circles sometimes, when it's time to worship, it's always this somber. Somber is not the right word, but it's as if eating and worship are incompatible. Enjoyment and worship are incompatible. That's not what we see in scriptures. Just the opposite. Whenever Jacob and others wanted to bless, who was it? When Isaac wanted to bless his sons, he asked, "Go make me a meal." Some people don't understand that. See, there's a wisdom from above that's in spirit and truth. He knows that once he has eaten this food made by his son's hands that he enjoys, it's double. He likes the flavor, and he knows it's from his son. It will create in him a complete sense of appreciation for his son. And in that pure appreciation, he will pronounce the blessing on his son. That's what that's all about. We're not spirit only and soul. We're spirit and body. And so that's why Elohim gives us feast days and holy days, that we should come together rejoicing with all our being. Not just with our minds, all our beings, our bodies are rejoicing before him. We're enjoying the food that he has created for him. And if we're truly his, when every bite we take, every taste we experience, our hearts rejoice in him. When we're not just lost in the food, but the experiencing of the taste of the food causes our souls to rejoice and say, "Oh Elohim, thank you for creating this for me. Thank you that you rejoice in seeing me enjoy this." Elohim takes great pleasure in seeing us all rejoice in the things that are pure. He doesn't want us to be so sad and broken. He likes to see us rejoice, but rejoice in the things that are pure and righteous. Oh, how he rejoices when he sees it. He rejoices. So they set meat before them and rejoice, believing in that wonderful Elohim. He alone know with all his house. What a blessing. The reason that's said there is so that we can have hope. See, sometimes we think that our families can't be saved. There's a reason why that's there. Elohim knows what the future beyond these pages, when these words are written, what would be. He knew from the very beginning. He's writing these things so you and I can be encouraged that no matter what you see going on in the world, if you do what's right, your family can be saved. Do you get that? If you do what's right and rejoice in that knowledge and be believing, your family can be saved. How was Noah's family saved? Was it not for Noah's sake? They were not righteous. Only Noah was. But for the sake of Noah, his family was saved. That's what's kind of going on here, brethren. See, the Spirit of Truth will work through you, through us, in such a way that it will impact our family. But we got to have faith and give and feed on that word. See that word? You and your family will be saved. You. Remember to Lydia? What did it say to Lydia? Let's see what it says. Let's see. Yeah, and when she was baptized and her household, what did it say to Cornelius? All that were with him. There's a reason that's there, brethren. You remember I talked about eating that food, the physical food that rejoices the heart, and then the soul gives praise and thanks and pure thanksgiving to Elohim when our soul and is aligned with the Spirit and our body is subject to the soul that's subject to the Spirit. We will give a pure offering of thanksgiving to Elohim for every good thing he gives us, for every good gift. Likewise, when we could eat this word, believe it, His Spirit will work in us so that it will bear that fruit that's written here. You will see your family will turn to Elohim. But you must be true. If you're not true, it will not happen. The Spirit of Elohim is not something that could be manipulated at all. It's a waste of time and a joke to try to do that. No one can manipulate. The Spirit of Elohim is superb and wonderful. But if we are true, you will see somehow Elohim will work things out in the lives of your family, and you will be a part of it, and they will turn to the truth. But you cannot say things like, oh, well, not everybody believes. Yes, you're not everybody. Cornelius wasn't everybody. Lydia wasn't everybody. This jailer was not everybody. This jailer, Lydia, Cornelius, and so many others were those being saved. Just as Noah. Just as Noah. Okay? So let's rejoice in that. Let's see if I can... let's see, what time is it here? Okay. I'll do a little bit more and then I'll end. So, this is wonderful news. So they... And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in Elohim with all his house. So... Going with this meat, just digress. So when we're keeping the feast, when we're keeping Passover, when we're doing these things, we have to let our soul, our whole being, partake of it. We cannot let our flesh get involved. And that's why we have to be very careful how we do these things. Some people approach the feast days like it's just a dinner. And they're clamoring, laughing about, you know. No, if we are to keep the Passover, if we are to keep the Sabbath, if we are to keep all the holy days, we have to keep them. And the only way we keep them is when we do it with the right attitude. The moment our attitude isn't right, we're just there at a meeting and the Spirit of Elohim has nothing to do in us. Because the Spirit... is a spirit. And our spirit must be right for the Spirit to partake with us, to fellowship with us, and bring about the fruit of the Spirit through what we're doing. When we keep Passover, it's not supposed to be just something on a checklist. Okay, I've done Passover. I've done it that year. What was the fruit? What was the fruit? All these things that Elohim has given us is so that we can bear fruit. But people pollute the Sabbath. They have to adorn it with their own things. They have to make it, oh, it's family time. They have to make it, or it's special pastor day. You know, those of us that are from the Protestant Sabbath keeping organizations, I won't name names, but you know. Oh, it's teacher day, or it's this day. No, it's supposed to be the Sabbath day. A holy day set apart from anything. The moment we add anything to it, it's corrupt. It's not a matter of doing evil or not doing evil on it. Working is not evil. Working is a good thing. But you can't work on the Sabbath. Marriage is a good thing. But it's not the time to get married, the Sabbath. There's certain things, it's not the time for anything other than the Sabbath. People don't understand. It's a holy day. That's why it's holy, set apart for only being the Sabbath. So there's an ancient writing, New Testament writing that says, you will keep the Sabbath when you keep the Sabbath. It's profound. But people don't understand. You will keep the Sabbath when you keep it. If you make the Sabbath anything else that is not, you're not keeping the Sabbath. It's not family time, even though our families benefit, but it's not family time. We gather and we are blessed in many ways when we do what we're supposed to do. Passover, all the feast days, we must do it with the right attitude. It's not time to try to make the holy days a dance time. Oh, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's dance. No. That's these are things that crept into it, and that's why it ceased to be what it's supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with dancing necessarily. I'm not one of those, but we got to make sure everything we do, oh my soul, at every breath, every word, every meditation, that we're blessing the name of the Eternal in it and not trying to satisfy our flesh. Let our flesh be satisfied by the spiritual things. And let our soul be blessed by the spiritual thing, not trying to do it the other way around. Okay, let's try to move on, and I'll try to end with one more verse. With a few more. And when, verse 35, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. So it's daytime now. A lot has happened. And the sergeants are the rod keepers. In other words, they hold the rods. They're guards, they hold the rods. They're the sergeants, the magistrates, the leaders. So there's more than one. So daytime came in, let these men go. So that means Elohim communicated a lot to the leaders in one way or another. I'm not saying he spoke to them, but in other words, his fear came upon them. And somehow they knew that what? They should not touch the Eternal's anointed, right? They got that somehow through the massive earthquake and everything that has happened. Oh, because if you notice, verses 25 and 34 says nothing about them, but it sure impacted them. And that's why we need to learn to pray, brothers and sisters. When we come together, we're not Paul, we're not Silas. I'm not saying that we need to necessarily expect immediately those type of things. If we want those type of things, we need to be like Paul and Silas. But there are many that are not like Paul and Silas that will enter the kingdom. Right? So we may not be as robust in the faith as Paul and Silas, but Elohim can still do things for us. Just because he will speak to us, as I was saying to my family last night briefly, he will teach us and work with us where we are. What we need to do is learn to understand how he speaks to us where we are. Because he does. Even as Elijah's climbing up the cliffs and all, and he wasn't expecting a still small voice. He wasn't. But Elohim was for him in the still small voice. What is Elohim in for you? It's not something for you to create. It's this is real that I'm talking about. We need to stop and learn to check our lives. Check your life and see the pattern of how Elohim does things in your life. Then you will come to understand. That's part of meditation. You understand? We have to take time to reflect. Reflect in your life. See if you could pick up a pattern of how Elohim deals with you. And the closer we get to him, the more clearly he will speak with us. And it's a beautiful thing. I'll tell you a brief little testimony. I remember years ago when around 1986, and a little after, when my youngest brother passed away in 1986 in the tragic accident at home, and I was so broken. All of us was, but I'm speaking for myself. I was broken inside, but I eventually was able to go back to work. And then I was back then a bookkeeper, an accounts payable bookkeeper, one of my first jobs. And because I was so grieved, I made mistakes that I didn't realize. Whenever I made a mistake, Elohim would intervene. Things would fall, for instance. I remember one example. I finished entering information into a computer. I made some mistakes. I didn't know that. Then as I'm trying to put the documents away, the invoices away to file them, they just fell out of my hand and fell in such a way that they opened. Imagine the way a handmade fan would, or cards would just spread apart. And then I picked them up, and right in the middle, about the middle, I noticed something. I pulled it out and I realized, I made a mistake here. And I corrected the mistake and put it back. And there were a few other things like that kept happening during those days of my mourning. So I realize Elohim speaks to me in these types of ways. Okay? So look out for how Elohim speaks with you to guide you and protect you in your life. Let me open the scriptures one more time and end here. So I end in verse 35, and they let them go. And they let these men go. But I'll stop here, and we will continue next Sabbath. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much, brother. So very much said here. So we will have a song break.